Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
From this morning, from when we started in the prayer meeting at the back there, to when I, well, actually at home, when Ivan stood up and started gathering those scriptures and preparing half of my message there. And then we got here and Quentin and Renette prayed my message. And then we stood up and Louis started singing my message. So, man, you know, we so often doubt what God puts in our hearts. And I went backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. As you know, Ivan tells you I've been working on this message for very long, but actually it isn't that long. I worked on two other messages before I got to this one. It just didn't go anywhere. So in the week that I was off on a school break, I was going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. Lord, what are you saying to me? I always ask God, what are you saying to me? What are you putting on my heart? What is relevant for today? For, you know, what do you want to speak through me? And one of the days that I was at home, I'd heard about the story of Elon. Anybody heard about the Elon, the baboon? Okay, so you're going to learn about Elon today. So I'd heard about the story and I hadn't followed it very, very closely. And I don't often look at the videos that are posted on Facebook and whatnot else, because there's 4,672 million. But that one just happened to catch my attention for some particular reason. And I watched this little video about this baboon. And I'm sure some of you would know the story that for 15 days, this little guy was on a journey through Gauteng. And people were tracking him to make sure that he was safe, and they were watching him. And they followed him to make sure that he got safely to his destination. It didn't turn out that way. They actually had to trap him because he got into a place where he was in danger, and they trapped him. And you know, I actually cried when I watched this little video. It touched my heart so much that these people took such good care of this animal. The vet was so kind and so compassionate towards this guy, and he protected him. You'll see Nana. And they took the trouble to go out there and to transport him and release him safely back into the wild. And this reminded me of something that God's been speaking to me about for the one. So I started to think about how easy it is for us to have compassion for animals. I know I speak for myself. I'm very moved about animal stories, not so moved about human stories. But God, and you know what? God is pleased when we look after our animals. It is required of us to look after our animals. But I felt God saying to me, what about humanity? He came and he died for humanity. What about humanity? What about the people that we meet on a daily basis? What about the ones that are not so lovable? So for the one, you'll see as we go along, that is the title of my message today, for the one. You'll see as we go along, this actually has a twofold meaning. And we're going to look at the story of Elon and see what we can get out of it. So I just want to ask Robbie or whoever is going to press that magic button so we can just watch little Elon. I have permission from the Owl Sanctuary to play this.
Dirigenza? Is it cool? No, it's there, Akash. Tell those people you went that way. Tell the people you ran off. This is crazy, okay?
He's not going to go away.
I'm recording you, right?
Okay, I'm just entering, seeing if he's tranquilized. Let's just see. And, hello, Elon. At this point, it seems that he's taking effect, but he's not fully asleep yet, so there's still a lot of danger.
After yesterday, he was in Bobsington, and then he turned around and he came into Davidson. Unfortunately, the other community doesn't really like the room, so they've been chasing him for the last 24 hours. Man.
I just want to test your health check.
Okay.
And there's a young male. He's first. None of his feet are actually injured, so that's good, especially climbing all over those barbed wire fences and glass. It's an older one. Brendan, damn good job. 14 days, my friend. We've got him safe.
I'm going to give you some bananas before you. There for you.
Kipplikrat from Prime Crew, and we've just released Elon into the mountain where he would be joining a wild troop.
How big is the farm or less?
The farm altogether is about 800 hectares.
800 hectares.
That they would be going through.
That's very cool. And the wild troop, how many members in the troop?
About 40-50.
About 40-50. And will they accept him straight away?
Not straight away. They're going to have a bit of ranking.
Yes.
But hopefully he'll be joining them.
That's very cool spot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
So apparently this happens frequently. I didn't know that. Apparently they often migrate through Johannesburg, and they suspect that this little guy came from Hartbeespoort and moved through. And I think a lot of us, I know in our area they were posting on the group, he's in our area, watch out, you know, this, that, whatever, hide away, lock the doors. A lot of us were afraid. We didn't understand what was happening. But what happens with these young male baboons is when they reach a certain age, to prevent inbreeding, they actually migrate to another troop, which I think is actually incredibly clever. So they do it of their own, and it happens frequently. What the Owl Sanctuary did was they decided to make it public so that people would understand and in future, hopefully, just let him go on his way. So today I'm going to look at what did I learn from this story, and hopefully it'll mean something to you as well. as Ivan already mentioned, God calls us to be the light of the world, and he calls us to be the salt of the earth. He calls us to be his hands. He calls us to be his feet. He calls us to be his voice, to love those around us. And Fleur, thank you so much for reading that scripture, because that just goes so much with what I have to tell you this morning, that we can do all these other wonderful things, but if we don't have love, it's actually worth nothing. He wants us to even love the unlovable, just like that little guy. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is the salt if it's lost its flavor?" Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you feel like you've lost your flavor. What can make it salty again? You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And there we're coming back to the one, to everyone. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And then a very famous scripture, Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3, says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen on you." Not our glory, the glory of the Lord. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Philippians 2, verse 14 to 15 says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Some translations actually say, "as stars in a dark world." If we look at that little baboon at the end of that clip, man, was he angry, banging against that cage, on those teeth. I heard some of you go, whoa. I wouldn't like to meet him in a dark alley. And so many people we come across in life come across with that facade, with that anger, with that teeth bearing. And they very often are like, in your face, "I don't like you." And they're simply not nice to be around. They have what I would call Elon syndrome. Maybe they're running away from something, just as he was. Maybe they've been rejected. So I don't quite know how this thing goes down in the troop, but maybe they actually reject that male and they push him out, and then he goes on his journey. And so they come across as being aggressive and afraid, and maybe they feel like they just don't belong. Did you see me catch my notes just now, by the way? Sorry, okay, I'll carry on. So I read a saying a little while ago that really, really impressed on my heart. It like burnt into my heart, and it said, "You will never look into the eyes of someone God doesn't love." You will never, ever, ever look into the eyes of someone God doesn't love. There's our one again, someone. John 13, verse 34 to 35 says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love them. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." That is what ministers to people. The love that we have, that's what shows them who Jesus is. I always go, I don't know why, but I love all the little nitty-pitty details. And so when I got hooked on this Elon story, I decided to look up, what is the meaning of Elon? I read on the Facebook page, they spoke about, they gave him the name because he was wise. And they said something about a true South African, but he was wise. And actually, guess what I found in the Bible? Do you know? Okay, I thought you might know. So Elon was actually the 10th judge of Israel. Oh, my word. Yes, can you believe it? And according to some research scholars, sorry, I have to read this, Elon was one of the judges of Israel who shaped the society's structures and functions during their time of rule, as they were not challenged with military conflicts and were only civil judges. Elon was considered a wise and fair judge who endeavored to maintain a peaceful and happy state. And so it goes on. And when I read this, I started to think about how we are so quick to judge people on face value. And you know that judge simply means to form an opinion. And I said to Ivan in the car on the way here, oh boy, do I have opinions. Yeah, simply, we judge people on face value. Like this little baboon being so aggressive, being in the space of people, no man, what is he doing in my space? You know, he shouldn't be here. On the outside, he had those big teeth. He was aggressive. He was pounding against that cage. People were scared of him, afraid of him. The one lady, it was actually quite funny, she even said, all he wants is to eat my little dogs. And his whole journey, he never harmed anybody. He never harmed anybody. He never harmed any pets. There was actually, I can't remember this one little clip where the dogs were yap, 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 yap at him, and he just strolled past them and off he went on his way. So earlier on I spoke about that Elon syndrome. Maybe what you sitting here, maybe one of you are suffering yourself from the Elon syndrome. And I want to ask you today that if you are, that you perhaps remember that the people that come across your path are actually there to help you, just as those people were there to help Elon. And maybe to consider that, that they're not there to judge you or to point finger at you, but they're actually there to help you on your way. What do we do? You know, some people helped him on his way, while others wanted to help him. I don't know what's happening here. Do you want to give me the other mic? Thank you. Some people helped him on his journey. Some people wanted to harm him. In the area that he ended up in at the end, for 24 hours, they chased that poor little guy. He was exhausted. They just chased him and chased him and chased him. And what do we do with the people that we come into contact with every day that are not so nice? Do we want to stone them? Do we want to kill them? Do we want to hurt them? Or do we actually want to help them? The meaning of judge in the Bible actually means, I'm going to read a few of the meanings. It means to govern, to decide, to exonerate, and to save or deliver. So do we help them on their journey? Do we play a role in them being saved, delivered, and being set free in Christ? Or do we hinder the process? A little while ago, I had a few ladies at my house for a Bible journaling morning, and we'd advertised in a small group because lately I've just been feeling that God's been saying, scale down, make it smaller, more one-on-one, more for the one. And only two ladies from outside had responded. And sometimes when it's only you know, for the one, you get discouraged and you think, oh, what for? You know, I mean, we've had this hall full, like 80, 90 people. And I thought, Lord, really? And I spoke to Krabashni, and Krabashni said to me, oh, maybe put it on Facebook. And I just felt, no, just leave it. And we had just two ladies from outside, and then it was Eloise and I and Krabash and the girls. And we had a lovely morning, and we always share word. We don't just do art, so we shared word. And afterwards, as we were walking to the car, one of the ladies said to me, Lynn, she said to me, thank you so much for the word that you shared. She said she gets so much out of the word, so much more than she gets when she just is at home and she's just reading the Bible herself. And as I turned around and I walked back to the house again, I felt like the Lord just saying to me, for the one. Just for the one. So Elon's story might seem to you silly. There was a whole team. Did you see how many people were involved there? A whole team out. And like I said in the beginning, they were actually just going to follow him to make sure that he reached his destination safely. But when he... they had to step in and they have to now intervene and to dart him and get him to a safe place. What stood out for me there was they didn't go okay, now I've got to undo my hairdo that I like try to preserve, eh? Yes. My hair always gets caught up in the tail. Yeah, so what stood out to me was not the fact that they went out for a whole troop, but they went out for one. They went out for one. You know that if you were the only person in this world, if you were the only person in this world, Jesus would have died for you. And so they went out for one. In John 3:16, you know the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that everybody who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Each and every one, but just for you as well. So most of us will never get to work in a team like that or be the vet who was so kind and so compassionate. I was so moved by how he handled that little guy. And most of us will not be the one to dart people and release them into a safer environment. I can think of a lot of people I'd like to dart. I heard that little giggle there. And maybe not release in the end. So not all of us are called to do that part of the mission in life. But we are called to help people along the way and to eventually be released into a safe place and to find their freedom. The second one that I'm talking about is the one who Jesus died for. And that is what I've already read in John 3:16. That is each and every person that crosses your life. God deals with me so often about this. I've probably mentioned it in my messages before. But you know, it's everybody. It's the lady that cleans in your home. It's the children that I teach, that you teach, Mel. It's the people in your workshop, Arvin. It's the person sitting next to you at church. Do you know if the person sitting next to you at church is okay today? You know, it's each and every person that we come into contact with. Each and every person, the doctor that you visit, the pharmacist that you speak to, your work colleagues, you have an opportunity to help them on their way to take a step closer to Jesus, to be released into freedom. Each and every one of us have that opportunity every day. Are you using it? I spoke about how touched I was about how that vet handled that little baboon. And I loved the way he, and I heard somebody giggling, I loved the way he protected him by saying, tell them he went that way. And so sometimes those people in our lives, we come to a stage where we have to protect them from the wolves. And I am one of those people, and I probably get myself into trouble for doing it, but if you are my friend, I will be loyal to the end. and I will defend you even when I know you're wrong. But yeah. You didn't hear that, eh? Yeah. Are we concerned about people's well-being or are we concerned about being hurt? That team could have said, no ways am I going to do this, you know. And it was it was a dangerous thing to do. If that guy had sunk his teeth into them, oh my soul, yeah. I have to tell you a funny story and I hope my sister allows me to tell this. Sorry, Jen, but here we go. So my sister and her husband were on holiday in the Drakensberg a couple of years ago. And my brother-in-law is quite a short, smallish man. And he was sitting, they had the door open, and he was sitting eating a packet of sweets. And this big male baboon came walking in on his back legs, and he walked straight up to Colin. And Colin just looked at him and gave him the packet of sweets. And he took the sweets, and he turned around, and he walked out. I just love it. So, yeah, sometimes we just have to do what's right. Yes. So are we concerned about being hurt by their outward growling and their difficult behavior? For many years, I've worked with a lady who, I don't want to, maybe has Elon syndrome. And she's can be extremely difficult. And boy, does she growl. And has a different vocab to what I use. And it's taken me many years to earn her trust and for her to see that I actually care about her and I actually do love her. And she's actually become a very close friend of mine. And that's what God calls us to do. That's what God calls us to do. God loves her, and I need to love her and to take care of her and help her on her journey. And hopefully this leads her to the feet of Jesus. With Elon, like I said, some people helped him. Some people might have updated the team on where he was. Some people might have filled their pond with water to make sure he had water on the way. I know they asked people, please don't feed him. But I love what that guy, I don't know if it was in this video, but at some stage he said he borrowed some eggs and bananas on the way. So maybe they just left the eggs and bananas in a strategic place. But this is what God requires of us, to help others on their journey of life. He wants us to be compassionate and to be kind. Exactly what Fleur read this morning thank you. I just got a blank there. So in Colossians 3, verse 12 to 13, it says, since God chose you to be a holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Humility jumps out there. For me, it's not to think better of ourselves than others. And like I said a little bit previously, even to go to the extent of protecting them from the wolves, those who want to harm them, those who want to kill them, because God loves them. And so we need to extend that same love to them so that they can know the full love of the Father. So how else can we help? For me, you know, in the society that we live in where it's just go, 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 go. One of the most precious, precious gifts you can give somebody is time. And it doesn't have to be hours and hours and hours. Just to stop and really listen. Something that freaks me out completely is when you say to somebody, or they say, hello, how are you? And you go, I'm fine, how are you? And they go, I'm fine, how are you? And so did they hear me? You know, are they really listening? So even in when we're greeting people, are you really listening? You know, are you giving them that time? Look at how much time this team invested into this one little baboon for the one. Sometimes people just need to be listened to, and it solves like huge problems. Sometimes it's just a simple act of kindness. I have a close friend at school, and the one day, one morning, we always drink coffee before we start school in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I think she could see I was so overwhelmed. And she just took the broom and she started sweeping my class. And you know how that ministered to me, that simple act of kindness? That really, wow, God, you know, look. Sometimes we are so busy, but we need to ask God to show us through the day the people that are crossing our paths, who needs a smile. Who needs a word of encouragement? Who needs an ear to listen to? I have a friend who, when she goes into a store or to the, wherever, you know, there's people working, She'll say to the people, "Are you happy?" And, you know, she's had so many people that have come back to her. She, one of the times she was in Pick and Pay, and she said to the guy who was packing, she said to him, "Are you happy?" And he said, "Yes." She said, "Are you really happy with what you're doing?" He said, "Yes." She said, "Do you know that you can actually do more?" And by the time she was finished with him, the next time she came to visit, he fished out these books under the counter. And she said, "Look, look, look, I've enrolled. I'm studying." And she really encouraged him to do more with his life. And so there's so much we can do for the people around us. We can take, where we can take care of basic needs. Do you have groceries in your cupboard? Do you need a cup of coffee? Come, let's go and make some coffee, or let's go somewhere for coffee. I remember many years ago, we were really struggling. And Mel will remember this because I used to drag all the way. At one stage, I didn't have a car, and we walked a distance to school. And it was actually quite ironic that the church people rode past me. And a lady that I knew, who was not a churchgoer, actually stopped me and said to me, "Lynn, if you ever walk again, I will you. And and you tell me when you need a lift." And she reached out for me. You know, even in that, though, I saw God's hand, that he would lay it on her heart to help me. But we, guys, are the church. We should be the ones reaching out. We should be the ones taking care of people's basic needs. My heart is that my life on earth would count. We sang about that this morning. Are you going to be a history maker? We sang that song at a funeral of a friend of ours quite a few years ago, where we could truly say he was that person. So are people going to be able to say that of you one day? I want God to use me. I don't want God to one day say, "What about that one person that I brought across your path that irritated you? What about that one person? I had something for you to give them. What about that one person?" I don't want that. Going back to the whole story of For the One, we learn from the story that Jesus told of the shepherd that he actually will leave the 99 and go after the one. Jesus sees each and every one as precious. And so that should be our hearts too. It's not just the person that's nice, and it's not just the person that you think is a loser. God cares about that one as well. And so we need to be reaching out to them as well. Recently, I had an opportunity to go and minister at a ladies' Bible journaling retreat. And the message that I shared with them was about shining. And earlier on, we spoke about, and Ivan spoke about it, we are called to be light. And we are called to stand out. And we are called to shine. Earlier on, we read in Philippians 2, 14 to 15, that we should shine as lights in the world, or we should shine as stars in this dark world. When we come into a place, there should be a difference. The atmosphere should change. There should be light. When we come into people's lives, we should bring a difference. Just like that team made a difference in Elon's life, we should be doing the same. So as I prepared that message, I stumbled on a book by a lady called Alison Allen, and it was called Shine, Stepping into the Role You Were Made For. And this lady was a professional actress, and she'd starred in something like 650 productions of Grease, and then she went on to go and do smaller one-man productions for ladies' ministries. And she speaks about how often we stand in the wings of life. And we're too scared to come out onto the stage, into the spotlight, into that role that we've been called for. I think, well, first of all, it's uncomfortable. But I think that we do that in life because we're scared to reach out to others, because we're scared to come into the spotlight. Because what about them looking at us and seeing that we're actually not perfect? I want to tell you today, just in case you don't know, we're not perfect. And we never will be. Even Paul said, Philippians 3:12, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. He said, I'm not perfect, but I will keep on striving towards that goal. We sang that this morning as well. No one is perfect, and no one ever will be. Perfection is not realistic or possible, but perseverance till the end is. I want to read that again. Perfection is not realistic or possible, but perseverance until the end is. So today I want to tell you, you cannot let your imperfections or your weaknesses stop you reaching out to others and sharing the good news with others. We cannot let that stop. We cannot let that stop us stepping out of our comfort zone and into the light. Let's look at David quickly. I'm only on page 4 of 506. No. David, I love him. I probably talk about him in every message that I share because I just love him. I love the way he's so real. In the Psalms, he says, oh, this is terrible, and why did you forsake me, and wada. But I will praise you. Yeah. And he's just so, so real. So in 1 Samuel 17, you can go and read the whole story where he was on a mission to go and deliver lunch to his brothers. And what does he see? He sees the whole thing going down with Goliath. And do you know that David defeated Goliath? When he defeated Goliath, he did in, I think it was one day, what the Israelites failed to do in 1.5 months. Every day, Goliath would come out there and would taunt them and would tease them and would mock them. And they would come out, and guess what? They were too scared to step out of their comfort zone. I think they were too scared because they thought they had to do it in their own strength. But David knew his God. And he knew that he could come out there with the strength of the Lord. And even when Saul came to him, now this, imagine this, I mean, a king standing in front of you and says, you must put this armor on. And this young man says, no, I'm going out there in the strength of the Lord with two little stones. And I'm going to sort this guy out, not in my own strength, but I'm going to do it in the strength of the Lord. In John 15:5, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The other thing that renders us useless is when we label ourselves or we allow other people to label us. They are a huge hindrance to us getting out there and shining for Jesus. When David was standing in front of Saul, you know, when Saul started to say to him, you need more than this to do this job. He could have said, oh yes, you know, actually I am quite young. And yes, I actually do not have training as a soldier. And yes, he could have taken all those labels. I'm not good enough. And he could have run with that. But he chose to believe what God said about him instead of what Saul and the other people said about him. He went out there in the name of the Lord. He was confident enough to say no. He refused to people please. He was just himself, warts and all. So every day when you get up, I challenge you to ask God, please, Lord, give me your strength. I cannot do this in my own strength, Lord. But Lord, download your strength for me. Download your strength for me. Open my eyes to see the people that need a little help on their journey. I cannot touch people in people's lives in my own strength. I need Jesus. God wants us to see beyond our weaknesses and need for comfort. We simply cannot wait for the pieces to line up. Every time I stand on this ground and share a message, I am so conscious of how weak I am and how often I fail. But I cannot wait for the pieces to line up because they never will. Alison actually realized she was a better actress off stage than on stage. She said she would come into a room and she could like suss out the people and she would know exactly how she needed to react to them. And I think sometimes we do that as well. I know for myself, for many, many years, I thought if I was real, I would push people away from God because they would see that I was weak. And I would push them away from him instead of drawing them to him. And I have to show this facade of being perfect. But it doesn't work like that. God knows that I'm full of nonsense, and yet he still loves me. He doesn't always like our behavior, but that doesn't change his love for us. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in my weakness. I think I got distracted with Paul. I was reading about Paul where he said, I'm with it. With David, you know, he knew what David would get up to. And if you've read the story about David, man, did he mess up big time. And yet before he did those things, before, not after, before he did those things, God calls him a man after his own heart. Because he looks at the heart. David paid dearly for the sins that he'd committed. But God still loved him. He says that over us too, that he loves us no matter what. He doesn't want people to look at us and say, look how great they are. Look what fantastic people they are. He wants them to look at us and say, look how good God is and how great God is. I read a story recently about a very well-known preacher, and he came to a point in his life where he was completely devastated to find out that he'd actually pushed his brother away from the Lord and not drawn him to the Lord. And what had happened was he was very verbal about how a good Christian should live their lives. And he kept on saying to him, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, what about that, what about this? And his brother, when he eventually got to chat with him, said to him, he felt like he was just not good enough. And he said he couldn't meet all these rules and regulations and whatnot else. It was just too hard. That was his words. It was just too hard to be a real Christian. And he didn't want to be a fake Christian. And you know that for part of my life, I was that. He decided it was too hard, so he chose not to commit his life to God. And the speaker was devastated by this. His continual laying down the law, not showing grace, not showing God's love, not showing how much God cares about those people despite their weaknesses. The pressure to be perfect is not from God. It is from ourselves or others. Yes, God knows. Romans 3, 23 to 24 says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He knows we will sin. That's why he sent us Jesus and gave us the power to overcome. 1 John 1, 9 says, when we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. When we have sin in our lives and we repent, God does forgive us. Don't let Satan continually throw your mistakes or your past in your face. You know, I feel that when we are real and we speak of our weaknesses and our shortfalls, others can relate to us more easily and be comfortable with opening up to us. They can see God working in and through us because they know in our own strength we cannot do these things. They know it's God, and they can be encouraged that God can work in and through them as well. Here's Paul. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9 says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. He pleaded with God to take this away, but God didn't. And it was used to glorify God. He gets the glory when people see that we are weak, but he can still use us. David could never have slew that giant in his own strength. He was weak. Two little stones, come on, guys. But God. God took his weakness and turned it around and then got the glory. You know, I've seen this in my own life, and until recently, this truth has not become a reality to me, that God takes weaknesses and turns them around for his glory. Just like Paul, we need to keep on striving, though, to better ourselves and to bring him glory. So, on the camp, I shared with the ladies something that, until recently, I haven't shared with many people, because I was ashamed. And do you know that shame is a master emotion that controls us? It's the fear of not being good enough. My schooling. My dad, when I was in Standard 1, Grade 3, my dad broke away from the Freemasons, and we lived in Westville, which is like Sandton here. A beautiful double-story house, fantastic business, and literally, I'm not joking, overnight, we were reduced to a car and a coffee table and a kist and nothing else. And off we went on our travels. And from that day, my dad just couldn't settle down. We went from place to place to place to place. So I went to 9 schools from that day. I wasn't expelled from any of them, by the way. I just went to 9 schools because we moved so much. And you know what it's like when you come into a new group, especially with children. Children are quite harsh, and they form their little cliques. And you get put on the outside with all the wacky kids. You know, all the outsiders, all the slightly odd children, all the, yeah. And so those were my friends, because that was the group that accepted me. And you know what I took from that? I took those labels of being unloved. I took those labels of being rejected. I took those labels of being not good enough. And I walked with that for many, 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 many years. And because of that, come my matric exams, the first time I wrote some of the subjects was in my matric final. And so I didn't do fantastically in school. And so I took another label. Okay, you know, what? Dorf, whatever. Couldn't think of a nice word there. I didn't get a matric exemption. I didn't tell anybody because I was ashamed. And many years later, Mel goes off to study dancing, and I get an opportunity to study. And I tried many years in between to enroll, and I always got this fear came over me, like, it's not going to happen, you're not going to be good enough, you're not going to be able to do it, wada, 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 wada. And yeah, so anyway, a door opens, and the school that I was working with at that stage said to me, they will pay for me. So I take my little papers, and I go off to UNISA, knowing that stamped on that paper says, no matric exemption. So I go off, and the first person I come to says, you must do a bridging course. Now I'm in my 40s. I said, you don't understand. I need to do this quickly. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I've got to go back to the school now and tell them I can't do this because I don't know. Anyway, so Mrs. Portkita comes out the back of nowhere eventually after I've created a bit of a scene, and she looks at my papers. She says, ah, it's fine, and she stamps it, and off I go. So I think, yes, the Lord caused this miracle. Hallelujah, yay. And I'm quite happy with this. Yeah, let me see where I am. Sorry. So I carried on teaching, and I carried on studying, and I did a degree in education, and then I did an honors degree in learner support. And knowing my weakness, I know that it was only God. Both those degrees I got cum laude for. I know that I wasn't very strong in those areas. But God took that weakness and turned it around. And you know, many people, for many years, I had opportunity to share this, and yet I didn't. And so God didn't get the full glory for the whole story, because I wasn't brave enough to show my weaknesses. And so over the last couple of months, I've been every opportunity using this opportunity to say, look what God did in my life, despite my weakness, despite that challenge, look what he did in my life. And I know it was only God. I know it was only God. People need to know. People need to know. Don't stop your weakness from sharing with people. You know, over the past few Sundays, we've heard again and again and again, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Speak, tell people what God has done in your life. Remember, in the end, Jesus is your light source. Jesus is your light source. You have the potential to shine, but you cannot shine on your own. The moon has no light source of its own. But the sun light reflects off the moon. And guess what it reflects off? It reflects off all its imperfections, all the craters, all the mountains, all the dust, all the lava. That's where the light source reflects off. So we should be reflecting the sun, not that sun. The sun. if the moon had to try and produce its own light, it would end up exhausted. And I think for many years, because I didn't want people to know that I wasn't perfect, I ended up exhausted because I was trying to keep up or live up this perfectness. But yeah, that's when God doesn't get the glory. Hey. Today I want you to walk out of here with your focus shifted from what you can or can't do to what God can and will do in and through you. We so often just make life so complicated when basically all God is saying to us is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love others as I have loved you. Full stop. That's what it should be. Quick recap. We are called to be the light and salt to the world. His hands, his feet, his voice. If the worship team wants to come up so long. We are called to love others, even the unlovable. Remember, you will never look into the eyes of someone God doesn't love. Be careful of judging on face value. Do you know their story? Just like Elon, a lot of people judge because they didn't know the story. But do you know their story? I just want to add one quick thing here. Debbie Diaga, my friend that I spoke about earlier on, she has a lovely way of dealing with people on the road. You know, they cut in front of you or slam on brakes. And she always says, she always imagines like, the taxi driver, for argument's sake, maybe his boss has told him, if you don't collect X amount of people today, you're fired. So she always imagines a story about why they're racing like that. The guy that races past, or races up our road every day. No, but yeah. The guy that races past you, maybe his wife is in labor. You know, so do you know their story before you're quick to make a conclusion about them? Are you helping or hindering people on their journey? Are you playing a role in them being saved, delivered, and set free? And then don't despise the small, the one-on-ones. Jesus would leave the 99 to come after you. Love as Jesus loves you. Protect, meet needs where possible. Make your life count. Don't worry about what you can or can't do. Rather, remember what God can and will do through you. Don't let your weaknesses stop you reaching out. Don't label yourself or accept labels others try and place on you. Choose to believe what God says about you. Be real. God is glorified in our weaknesses. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. I asked Mel, I asked the team, and Mel got voted in, to sing this beautiful song. And I want you to listen to the words. Listen to it and let it burn into your heart. As if, yeah. For the one, let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one. For the one whom you loved and gave your son. For humanity, increase my love. Help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. Oh, that they would look in my eyes, that they would see you, even in just a smile, that they would feel the Father's love. Thank you.
Help me to Thank you, Lynn.